Yep, we hear you. Let's get you some beautiful windows that won't warp at warp speed. Durable, weather-friendly Vibrix windows and a seamless professional process. A free, no-pressure renewal by Andersen consultation is just a call or click away. When it's time to talk windows, we'll bring the wisdom. Renewal by Andersen.
Again, Mr. President, I'd like to thank you very much, and we'll speak to you very soon and probably see you again very soon. Thank you very much, Vladimir.
Next time in Moscow.
Oh, that's an interesting one. I don't know. I'll get a little heat on that one, but I could see it possibly happening. Thank you very much, Vladimir. And thank you all. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It doesn't look like they were taking any questions. They just marched off stage and that's it. That's it. That wasn't anything. They didn't come out with anything. What do you make of that? 0345 6060 973. Simon Marks is joining us again. Hello, Simon.
Hello, Nick. That was pretty extraordinary.
They talked for a long time, but I don't think they said anything.
12 and a half minutes by my clock. What we, of course, don't know is what the very significant disagreement that Donald Trump spoke about there might be. And clearly it is a disagreement sufficiently significant that the President of the United States did not announce in Alaska tonight any kind of three-way meeting that is going to include the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, nor was he able to announce that Vladimir Putin had agreed to any kind of ceasefire. I also want to make the point, Nick, that it was jaw-dropping. I have never, ever seen this happen before. For an American president holding a joint news conference on American soil to allow a foreign head of state to speak first.
Yeah.
The idea that Donald Trump simply yielded the floor in that press conference to Vladimir Putin, I've been doing this a long time. That is the first time I have ever seen that happen. And the symbolism of that, this notion that it's actually Vladimir Putin who's the ringmaster of all of this, was really, I think, underscored by the choreography of that. One wonders if Donald Trump just did that on the fly or if that was always part of the American plan. Either way, completely unprecedented. Reading between the lines of what Vladimir Putin was saying, he basically repeated what he always says about the conflict in Ukraine. He said that the situation in Ukraine was due to fundamental threats to our nation. That is the falsehood that it was NATO expansion that resulted. Now, Donald Trump appears to be coming back to the microphone. That's a replay of what we'd already said. Sorry, as you were.
Yeah.
He said the situation in Ukraine is due to fundamental threats to our nation. That, of course, is code for his false claim that it was NATO expansion that led to his decision to invade Ukraine. He called the situation in Ukraine a tragedy and a terrible wound, but he said, we want to deal with it, but we are convinced that all routes and the primary causes of the conflict must be eliminated. Now, that is code. When the Russians talk about the roots and the primary causes of the conflict, that means the existence of Ukraine as an independent sovereign state and the presence of NATO forces on Russia's borders. So it is absolutely fundamental. It is Vladimir Putin saying, I don't believe that Ukraine has the right to exist as an independent democracy. Oh, and by the way, NATO's got to withdraw. So he doesn't appear to have yielded on that matter in any way. And then he went immediately to trade. And he said it was very important for the two countries, the US and Russia, not the Russians and the Ukrainians, to turn the page and to get on with it immediately. He said Donald Trump sincerely cares about American prosperity, but understands that Russia has its own interests, and we will bring back business-like relations with the USA. We don't know if they struck any kind of deals economically during the course of this summit. Again, the expanded meeting that was going to include the Treasury and Commerce Secretaries from the United States and the Finance Minister and the Head of Economic and Investment Cooperation from the Kremlin never took place. It was only the three-on-three conversation that saw Marco Rubio and Steve Witkoff flanking Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin flanked by Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and Kremlin aide Yuri Ushakov. But it is apparent from this joint press conference, and it wasn't a press conference, was it? I mean, they both made statements and then they stalked off the stage. It is apparent from this that there was, I think, no breakthrough. Donald Trump said that they had had a very productive meeting. They had agreed on many points, but not on a couple of big ones.
Yeah.
And then later on, he went on to say that some of the disagreements were not all that significant, but one was very significant. And I mean, look, all you know is what they didn't announce. They didn't announce any agreement to meet with Volodymyr Zelensky. They didn't even announce the second meeting between themselves, although you heard Putin in English there at the end try to entrap Trump into agreeing to travel to Moscow. Trump just about managed to avoid in falling into that particular hole. There was also one other curious construction that the president, the American president, placed on these talks. He said he's going to call NATO leaders, including the prime minister, he's going to call Zelensky and tell them what went down at this summit. And then he said of the Europeans, they are going to have to agree with what Marco Rubio and Steve Witkoff appear to have accomplished over the last few hours in Anchorage. Now, we don't know what they've accomplished. And of course, we absolutely don't know if European leaders are going to go along and agree with it.
Yes, all of which is a bit disappointing for us watching, but it must be extremely disappointing for Donald Trump, who I'm sure wanted to come out of this with, you know, metaphorically speaking, all guns blazing, and to have the spotlight shone on him to such an extent that the Nobel Peace Prize Committee would be falling over themselves to give him a check and a medal.
Look, the one thing that I think one can say incontrovertibly is that Donald Trump has never evinced any understanding in how complex this process inevitably is going to be. He wants, you know, all of that talk on the campaign trail last year about how he's going to solve this conflict on the first day of his presidency, in the first few hours, which he now describes as sarcasm on his part. That has also been reflected in his determination as he went into this summit to come out of it and very, very quickly get on the blower to Zelensky. He even suggested at one point yesterday maybe he would even call Zelensky to Alaska. You know, they chill their boots in Alaska while they were waiting for Zelensky to arrive. He sees all of this as simple. And peace processes are not simple, even when both warring parties actively want to make peace. Vladimir Putin, we heard it there again tonight, only wants to make peace on his terms. And he wants to continue, as he's done throughout, kicking the Ukrainian ball into the long grass, playing Donald Trump for time. And he knows because, you know, Donald Trump, who could have spent the last 48 hours mugging up for this summit, instead spent the last 48 hours talking and talking and talking publicly and giving away his entire approach to this summit to the Russians even before they arrived in Anchorage. They know that Donald Trump wants this done fast. He's impatient. He wants to get it moving. And he says he wants to do that to prevent the killing in Ukraine. Maybe he does. But he also wants to do it because he wants to take advantage of economic opportunities that he believes exist for the United States and quite possibly also for his own businesses and his own family in Russia. And Vladimir Putin can see how eager, he's like an eager puppy, desperate to get this thing cleared off the agenda so he can get on with the business of making money. And it then becomes terribly easy for Vladimir Putin, as I suspect he's done in Anchorage over the last few hours, just to dig in his heels on certain issues and say, well, unless you address these root causes of the conflict, and you have to understand, Mr. President, you know, you need to read the academic treatise that I wrote on why Ukraine should never have been granted any measure of independence or sovereignty by Joseph Stalin. I mean, that's how far back Vladimir Putin goes with all of this. It's very easy for him to tie Donald Trump up in knots and sit on his hands and say, well, I'm not resolving the Ukraine conflict, but I'd love to do a deal with you over oil and gas.
Yes, and Putin said, but, you know, whatever they did agree, it's irritating that they didn't tell us anything. But one of the things that Putin said was that Ukraine should not throw a spanner in the works.
Yes.
Europe. It does appear as though some sort of move forward has been made. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said that. There would be no works in which to throw a spanner.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And he characterized it as Kiev and European leaders must proceed constructively and not throw a spanner in the works. Mm. Donald Trump, he said today, and I agree with him, that Ukrainian security must be protected and we will work on that. That presumably a reference to the whole concept of security guarantees around which Donald Trump has danced endlessly over the last few months. But he said Kiev and Europe must proceed constructively and not throw a wrench in the works of whatever kind of conversation they had today. I mean, the other thing that's interesting about the fact that Donald Trump didn't stay standing at that microphone and taking questions is that that is so unlike him.
Yeah.
He's the most garrulous American president who's ever occupied the Oval Office. And the idea that on this occasion he's going and uniquely he's going to be disciplined and he's not going to give the goods away before he's picked up the phone and spoken to Zelensky, the Prime Minister, the other European allies, suggests that this is a much more complex and nuanced situation than Donald Trump might have imagined he would be dealing with.
He's still going on about the Russia hoax, though, isn't he? Still believing Vladimir Putin over his own security personnel.
We're going to have to... The look on Putin's face then was precious as well. As you know, Vladimir, I know you agree with me. And yes. Vladimir's sort of sitting there, again, smiling like the Cheshire Cat.
Yeah. Always good talking to you, Simon. Thanks for
Cheers,
that.
Nick.
Simon Marks, talking to us there from Washington, D.C. Going to take a short break. Your thoughts on that conversation?